Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. We have with us tonight on Mr. Big After Dark, the really fantastically cool, one of the best-looking men in the whole city of Detroit, if not the entire state of Michigan, the one true Puck from the Bad Guys, Bad Guy Podcast. Good evening, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
And
so
I appreciate the intro. I'm feeling really good about myself now. I need to come do your show more often. It's a good ego boost.
I pride myself on doing good inductions, right? You know, I pride myself in giving people good inductions.
Well, so, nailed it.
What the hell? I appreciate that. Thank you. So, briefly, what got you interested in doing the mafia?
Well, so I've always been interested in kind of criminal history. Growing up in the Detroit area, financially challenged, you kind of have to develop a bit of a comfort level with some criminal elements, you know? And so I was always kind of familiar with that kind of stuff growing up, but it wasn't really something I was into. I was more of a book guy. I like to read a lot, and I was always a bit of a history nerd, so I've always been a history buff. So a lot of my interest in the mob comes from the area I grew up in, and then my interest in history naturally. And the more you learn about history, the more you learn how much it's actually intertwined with criminal elements and on both sides, you know, like...
Yeah.
The FBI, the federal government, a lot of that power comes from things that stemmed from, you know, Depression era, bank robbers and that kind of thing. So it was an interest in history overall, and then kind of some of the stuff you see growing up, and the two mixed together kind of, you know, made me interested in the mob, I guess you could say.
I get the same thing. I feel the same way. Now, what time period of the mafia do you like the most? You like the old school stuff of the 20s, the 30s, the more modern stuff?
Well, the Prohibition era is great because there's so much good information out there. Since most of these people are past and gone, you can get the information freely without having to kind of rely on stuff that you got from, you know, people that turn government state's witness, which is always iffy testimony, that kind of thing. So, you know, and it's got a Wild West vibe. You know, they romanticize them kind of like the Robin Hood. There's a lot of action. So it's hard to not say the Prohibition era. But then, you know, I really like a lot of the stuff in kind of the 50s, too, where it was kind of reshaping itself and developing a post-Prohibition kind of setup, because that was such a huge racket that was taken off the table as a cash cow. So once that went away, it kind of took them a while to establish a new pecking order. You know, that's when, you know, when you have Gambino and Vito stepping in, you have, you know, the Appalachian meeting. So I would think into the Prohibition era, or, you know, around the 50s kind of stuff, the Crawford hearings, that kind of thing.
I agree. I absolutely love the 50s to, say, the 70s, because we got the mob doing the Vegas thing. We got them trying the Cuban, you know, the Cuban investments, definitely the Vegas investments and other gambling parts of the industry. I think it's really exciting because the mafia proved that they weren't all one-trick ponies, right? They weren't all killers, that they knew how to make money in different, more interesting ways without necessarily putting a gun in someone's face.
Well, I think the one-trick ponies all either ended up getting life in jail or got killed or eventually got ran over. And, you know, I think the guys that had a business sense, that had a mindset. Now, you always need the muscle people, but the people that brought more to the table than that, you see how quick they rise to the top and what difference makers they were. Like guys like, you know, like a Tony Accardo, who, yeah, you know, obviously, he was a muscle guy. They called him Joe Batters. But then he spent the rest of his life making you know, smart decisions and that kind of thing, and moving away from that life and not going with the quick money, going with the long-term money, not making the violent decision, making the money decision.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, because it takes a bright person to do that, because you have somebody like Bugsy Siegel, right, who's a put the gun in someone's face sort of a guy, right? He doesn't last long, nor does he have a good end.
Right. And that's the classic, that's the classic gangster tale that we tell, is that you're going to end up dead or in jail. But, you know, for a lot of the Bugsy Siegels, you also have a Meyer Lansky who died wealthy in of old age and was one of the richest people in America. But what I think is important to note is the two kind of needed each other, because Meyer needed a Bugsy to build what he had. So he couldn't have done it with no muscle.
No, you can't
but
run.
But then Bugsy without Meyer is just a nose breaker on the street.
Yeah. I mean, the Prohibition people could not have lasted without the muscles of back come up. You know, when you had beer trucks being hijacked, you needed the people to run those beer trucks that you wouldn't be screwed with more than once, right? But they eventually have level of the usefulness. It's those people who can figure out that, okay, Prohibition is going to end. What's the next thing we can get into, right? And once they went those ways, got involved in unions and the like, didn't need the muscle people so much. And the muscle people kind of got left behind, though we do still read about them from time to time today.
Well, and that's a real evolution of the union racket, because when you look at how organized crime originally got affiliated with the union, they originally started off as strike busters. And then they would come in as strike busters, or then sometimes they'd flow both sides where they would work as strike busters, but then they would also work for the union for people that decided that they didn't want to unionize. They come in and crack skulls too to make sure they get everybody on board and make sure it becomes a union shop.
Right.
And it's crazy when you look into the kind of more blue collar or the more white collar corruption angle where they're investing the pension fund and the embezzlement and that kind of aspect, when it really originally started as muscle work for unions.
Absolutely. One thing we'll find out quickly when we're doing the research for the Buffalo mob, right, is the amount of Buffalo, alleged Buffalo members of the Buffalo Mafia, allegedly, right, who have shops set up in Vegas, which is nothing more than boiler rooms. You know, that's an interesting way to make money. I mean, you're not breaking into people's heads, but you're surely at times breaking the law. And it's starting to excel at that type of white-collar crime, as well as health insurance fraud.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now a lot of it's internet fraud and online gambling and that kind of thing.
Because
nowadays you can't do the violent, you can't really do the violent crime with modern forensics and cameras. That's a good way to end up locked up. You have to be a little bit smarter than that.
Right. And again, it doesn't take a lot of intelligence. It takes applied intelligence to figure out how you manipulate some person, say, in Racine, Wisconsin, to go to this online casino, right, play all day, invest dollar after dollar after dollar, get their money, bring that money in, and never have to pay out. You know, it takes brains to figure out how that operation works. It takes brains to figure out how it is that you can do a, quote, OnlyFans type of situation where you get people to pay money to see this girl do whatever, and the girl that's doing whatever may not be having a choice. It's basically white slavery, and they excel at those things too. You know, but again, they're smart. They apply themselves instead of trying to apply themselves to become doctors, lawyers, whatever. They apply themselves to be a gangster or a gangster type people.
Well, and just one thing I wanted to mention based on what you said. You know how I said originally I was really interested in how much of, you know, just regular history comes from criminal history. And one of the big things with the FBI, or when the federal government started to gain power over the states and the counties, was due to the white slavery and prostitution and that kind of thing with the Mann Act. That was one of their first powerful federal acts that they were able to used to, you know, charge people and bring them in with crimes that they couldn't prove other things on.
Right. Right. And at one time, the mob was really, really good at following the Mann Act by running white slavery. You know, and now we still have human trafficking going on today.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Mann Act is what they charged Machine Gun Jack McGurn with, since they couldn't prove anything on the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. They just charged him with the Mann Act because they knew that he went out of town with his mistress, and he was a married man. So that was technically the wording of the law says leaving, crossing state lines with a female for immoral purposes. So then immoral becomes up for discussing, and since he's married, and that's not his wife, that makes it immoral. But, yeah, they couldn't get him on the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, so they got him on a violation of the Mann Act, and he took that all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
Okay, when did he lose?
He won.
Oh, good.
He actually won. There's still a statute to this day, Gerbardi versus USA.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's fascinating. It makes sense that they would try to do what they needed to do to try to get somebody like him off the street. At the same time, that to me also screams, well, you know, the government trying to interfere with it, no business. I mean, if I take a woman that my wife crossed the state line, am I really truly being a horrible criminal by the letter of the law? I am. But at the same time, is it the government's business if I do that or not?
Exactly. And it doesn't mean they're wrong, but it doesn't mean it's not an overstep.
Right, yeah. I mean, yes, we don't want Mr. Joe Blow from Kokomo Sug to take some 14-year-old he picked up off streets of Chicago and drive her to Texas, right, the service and oil industry, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want those sort of things to happen, and we have laws we hope to prevent that, but you know, we have to make damn sure, in my opinion, that those laws aren't designed or used to stop, say, you know, Wayne, Mr. Big, from doing something naughty with the girl he picks up at the bar. But, again, that's where we become members of the public need to, you know, watch what our government does and, you know, and vote accordingly, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. Now, do you follow any of the YouTube channels that deal with the mafia by chance?
I do. Now, I'm more into podcasts than YouTube, but I do follow some of the YouTube stuff that's out there.
Well, let's talk about podcasts for a moment, because I watch more podcasts than I do. I do more podcasts than YouTube myself. What are some of the podcasts that you are listening to?
Well, I think I've always been kind of ADD a little bit, so having something to listen to while I'm doing other tasks has always kind of helped me. And then when it comes to music, as much as I like music, at some point you kind of end up just listening to the same 50 songs over and over again, and you can only do that so long. And then so when I was, you know, when I was younger, I started to get into talk radio, and then at that time, it was only really either politics or sports was the only talk radio. And then once podcasts came out, and I was already an avid talk radio listener, podcasts hit the scene, and you could literally find a podcast on anything that you wanted to talk about, anything that you were a fan of. And so I was hooked right off the bat. So that's why I've always been a big fan of the podcast format, because it's basically just like talk radio, but without censorship and on demand. And I'm usually a pretty busy guy, so I'm always working or I'm doing something. So it always gives me something to listen to while I'm doing those things.
Absolutely. Which ones do you like about which podcast do you enjoy the most?
Like mob related podcasts?
Yes, sir.
I would say, so probably the best one out there, in my opinion, there's plenty of good ones, so I don't want to try and leave anybody out, but Gangland Wire is a great podcast.
Okay.
By Gary Jenkins.
Yep, I know him.
Have you listened to much of his stuff?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So I'm a big fan of him, and, you know, he comes from a good knowledge base. You know, he was an intelligence officer, detective in Kansas City. So he really, really knows his stuff, and he's doing a really good job. He, similar to yourself, you know, he's got a bunch of published stuff and has worked on some documentaries. And I would say for anybody that's into mafia stuff, if you like mafia or organized crime and you listen to the podcast, I would say Gangland Wire would be the first stop. And I've actually talked to Gary Jenkins recently. I think I'm going to be having him on my show for an interview coming up pretty soon.
Outstanding, yeah. He was a good guest. When I had him back in the day, he's a very knowledgeable person, as you said yourself. And he's talked to all kinds of most interesting things going on, not only in Kansas City, but in Chicago as well. Absolutely great guy. Can't speak highly enough of him. Any other podcasts that you like, sir?
Yeah, well, another one is Original Gangsters. Now, this might be a bit of a biased opinion, but it's got Scott Bernstein, who's a Detroit guy, and I'm from Detroit.
Yep.
So that's another one that I think is great.
Yeah, Scott and his co-partner in crime do a really fantastic job. I mean, I'm absolutely amazed at the knowledge base that they have. It blows me away at a consistent level all the time.
Yeah,
have you listened to the sit-down yet?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Have you listened to the one called The Sit-Down yet?
The Sit-Down. I have listened to The Sit-Down, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's one. I like that one too.
Yes, that's another one that's really good. I've listened to a lot of their stuff. It's a good easy listen. So yeah, that's definitely one I would recommend.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the nicest thing too is when I do those podcasts, also have people on board. They can talk. You can talk to the hosts. I mean, they're both active on Twitter. They're all active on Twitter. You can tweet something to them, DM them, and they'll get back to you with, you know, questions you have. They'll answer those questions or at least tell you where you can go to get that information. I think it's really nice that they share the information freely with others because it's not about them, it's about the subject.
Yeah. No, for sure. And one other one that I want to recommend that I think is really good is it's called Partners in Crime.
I've never heard of that one. Tell me about that
podcast.
One.
Podcast. So it's Bill Crooks. He's he does a radio show once a week with Gunner. So he's got a bunch of different stuff he's working on. It's a bit of a pop-up podcast because he just has so much going on. He can't crank them out regularly. But they break down, similar to our show, one gangster every episode. You know, so they have like Albert Anastasia. They've covered most of the big guys. They do in-depth research. They kind of do it as like a forum. There's a handful of them. And that way it's not just a lecture. They're kind of kicking the information back and forth and discussing it. And it is a pop-up podcast, like I said. So the episodes, they don't come out once a week. They're a little bit inconsistent, but they're always well worth the wait. They put a lot of production value into it. They do a lot of good research. And to me, I would say it's probably one of the most slept-on podcasts because not enough people have heard of it, and it's great, both from an entertainment standpoint, it's a quick listen, and just the production quality, the information, everything is solid across the board.
I have to go and check that one out. I'm not listening to that one yet. I have to do that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I mean, the amount of time that people put in podcasts to put out the information, I think, is really, really very incredibly cool. And very few of them will make a dime from them. And it's really a very, very free word of information. I really appreciate that a lot. I learned so much from all of them that I listen to.
Well, I know on my show, I mean, I handle basically, I do all the research. We record together. You know, I do the editing, the distribution, the social media. So I do so much of it. And, we've been able to start doing a little bit better. We picked up a Manscaped ad recently and that kind of thing. But when you look at the amount of time that I've put into it, that's minimal. Like, that helps keep the show going, keeps the light on, so to speak. But reality, it's the reason that I prefer watching college football to the pros, is that the people are kind of – they're playing for the love of the game still. Now, I realize that there's scholarships on the line and stuff like that, but – these guys are amateurs and they're not getting paid. And there's a lot of these kids that are never going to play again. And they're just out there doing it because they love it. And I think, you know, podcasters, a lot of these people that are making podcasts, they're not making nothing. They just have this itch to kind of get that information out there.
Well, it'd be truthful. I do a podcast and a live stream to sell books, right? I try to sell my mafia books that you can find at themwalkingmob.com, right? You can find all my books there. And please check it out and buy a copy of a book that appeals to you today. It would be really, really cool. Thank you very much. Allow me to introduce my commercial plug. I mean, it's a lot to me because I'm horrible at it, right? But you do what you do, right? You do. There's no harm. I mean, I enjoy doing what I do and enjoy having guests like yourself on. I hope that people listen to this show or see a live stream, at least intrigued enough of what I'm trying to do, or hear the guest to check out my book and maybe buy a copy. That, to me, is huge. Absolutely. I'm not getting rich of doing the podcast in and of itself. No, sir, I'm not.
Right, but you have a good time doing it, right?
Yeah,
and
I do. Yep.
You meet a lot of interesting people. So, I mean, this is the second time me and you got a chance to talk both times.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, having a really good time. So, I mean, you know, money's not everything. You know, I try to tell my kids, don't chase money, chase your passion. And the money,
might come. It's just like, to me, it's all about, I mean, I like to do the mafia thing. I like to do the mafia thing a lot. I wouldn't be writing about it. You're right, I wouldn't be writing multiple books on that subject, right? But I have to sell them in order to keep doing that. This allows me to do this. It allows me also to meet people like you, right? It allows me to meet people like Gary Jenkins, you know, Scott Bernstein, and others. You know, you get that knowledge base of information I never would have known before. Never would have known before. I mean, I had Scott Bernstein on my live stream. No, on my live stream, we talked about Charles Manson. He knew so much about Charles Manson, stuff I did not know before.
Wow, that's crazy, because that's a crazy depth of knowledge when you look at, you know, you got the Detroit Purple Gang, which I know he knows inside out, which is Prohibition-era
yep.
Detroit, but then Charles Manson, which is, what, California in the 60s?
California, yeah. And the thing is, I would not have known that he knew a thing about Charles Manson. And they had the show they did on OJ where that came out, that, Scott said something basically called Charles Manson, some in-flight names that I won't use in the radio here, right? I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm interested in Charles Manson. I'm reading a book on MK Ultra. And if Charles Manson might have been affected by MK Ultra, let's see if he wants to come on my show and talk about Charles Manson. He was more than willing to do that. And again, I learned quite a bit from that show, quite a bit. I mean, it's amazing what you can't get to have come on your show by simply sending them a DM saying, hey, I do the show, can I get you to come on? Many people will say yes. Many people you never would think would say yes. But these are the ones that want to come and talk.
Well, because, you know, people that are in the vertical that are kind of, you know, in the area that we are in, kind of discussing this criminal history and stuff, they do a lot of research, they have something that they want to say, and they're always grateful for an opportunity to meet somebody new and get it out there, kind of. So.
Absolutely, and if you're open to learning, right, and open to learning and open to asking questions and keeping the mouth shut, that's one thing I have a problem with, I like to talk, you know, you'd be amazed at the information they're willing to share. Because, like you guys are saying yourself, sir, they like to talk about the loves, what they went through. You know, when I had Leo Silva on, the guy that was working for the DA for over 20-some years, you know, the stories that he has working for the DA is absolutely amazing. But yeah, and he loves talking about it because that's the time of his life he'll never get back, right? He did a lot of interesting work working for the DA in Mexico, shutting down some really bad, nasty, nasty people, the Zetas, right? Stuff I've never knew before. But I got a knowledge base because he goes on my show multiple times, you know, that I never would have known before. I think that opportunity is a good thing that appeals to everybody, I think, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. So what's next up for, the Bad Guy Podcast? Who do you plan to talk about next?
So we're going to be releasing next. It's going to be in a two-parter because it was a lot of information. Our season two finale is going to be on Bumpy Johnson.
Okay.
So we typically try not to cover bigger names, but we did a whole series on the Harlem Numbers Kingpin. So we covered Alex Alex Pompez and Casper Holstein, and we're covering Bumpy Johnson. So if anybody's, you know, interested in any of the numbers racket stuff, we've covered most of those guys. We actually covered Ted Rowe, who was kind of the Bumpy Johnson of Chicago. That was an episode that we've already had out, that's been out. So I'm just really fascinated by most of the numbers guys, because it's something that I feel like, similar to what you were talking about earlier, is they were able to do a lot of this, and they weren't out breaking a lot of heads. They were guys that tend to give back to their communities. You know, these New York guys were huge in the Harlem Renaissance. Most of them bowed out to Dutch Schultz, not because they just weren't that gangster. They were more businessmen that happened to be in a criminal enterprise, but they weren't interested in that kind of violence. And that's just a type of criminal that really is interesting when you start doing the research on it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they took the opportunities that came their way. They provided a service to that community that wanted that service. They did so in a fair manner. I mean, if somebody won, they got paid, right? They hired people. Many of them would never be able to get any type of a job at all. They gave them an opportunity to put food on their table, right? To me, they're definitely community leaders. It really irks me, it really upsets me the more I think about it, is these are the people that should be mentioned in some of these history things that we did, the schools do, right? I mean, we don't necessarily want our kids to be a numbers runner, right? But yet, it's a nice situation to talk when it comes to, hey, you know, this is what these people did in order to make a living. But right now we have, come on, Lady D. Let's see, let's bring on our good sports person, Lady D. This is Zach, let's bring her on. Can you hear us, Lady D? Hello? Maybe not. Huh. Okay. Okay,
I
apologize.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay, Lady D, we have on the line as well the famous good-looking Puck. Now, I don't know if he's in stand for your sports program or not, but let's hear your sports pick for this week coming up for the Super Bowl, please.
Okay. It's very hard because I already invested on the Bengals, but then I invested in the Bengals at 4. So now the spread is at +4.5 for the Bengals. Probably end up going to 5, which is crazy. I've been watching in the back end about Mattress Mack. Yeah, I don't even know who he is. He is the biggest Houston bed company person. He owns lots of bed companies. He actually put in $4.5 million on the Bengals to win. So, and it's getting kind of scary because, to me, I'm thinking, oh my God, everybody's thinking he's taking it, but usually I think he hedges. It's going to be a great matchup. There's going to be a lot of props too that I like. So there you have it.
Do you understand correctly that the Bengals are supposed to win by 5 points?
Well, actually 4.5. They need to keep it close. Within 4.5. Excuse me. My bad. Yep.
Okay.
Well, 5 is good. Plus so 4. I would buy it to 5, but just wait to see what it goes. It's still at 4.5. It opened at 4. That's where I had got. That's when I placed my bet, when it just opened at 4, and it's still stagnant on 4.5. So if y'all the type of person who want to wait for it, I just suggest waiting to see if it goes to 5.
Okay, now Lady, where can we find you online?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at Betting in Heels. It's easy to find me. I'm mostly on Twitter, talking my crap, and on Instagram at Betting in Heels 1. So that's where y'all can catch me at.
Now, we understand that you'll also be doing a show for Sports Rockin' Tours. Is that true?
I am joining the Sports Rockin' Tour family. Tomorrow I will be on talking with Steve and given a little insight of who I am and what I'm about, and I'm excited to, like, introduce myself to the podcast and help everyone learn how to win.
Since I have quite the burp thing going on here. Since Puck had the balance, why don't you take the opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourself here, because hopefully we have you as a recurring guest.
Yeah, of course. Everybody know me as Lady D. I bet on sports. I have been betting on sports for many years, so I am not new to this. I am not a content creator. Listen, I invest in myself, and that's what I do. What I do is I like to help people profit. I am for the people. So I do my research on my picks, and even though I'm in a slump right now, it kind of gets me because I hate to lose, but can't win every day. I don't know. To me, I'm like, if anybody say that they can win every day and they're up over $1 million, I mean, like, give me a break. Yeah, they would be already in Dubai or something, living it up, you know. And I don't know. It's just a lot of people that scam, and especially in nowadays in social media, people can just be lying about everything. So,
not social media. People don't lie on social media, do they?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not a liar. I try to keep it real with everybody, you know? So it's just like people themselves hear what they're really not about, you know what I mean? And that's not me. I'm very authentic and real, and I'm very transparent with my plays. So I bet on sports, and I help people. Like normal people, who, even if y'all want to bet $10, I help. But my main focus is to help profit at the end of the month. You know, I really don't care if I have three bad days. You know, what I look for is if I'm gonna profit at the end of the month, which is my return investment.
Right.
And
you go into it knowing that you may have good months, you may have bad months, right?
Yeah. you can always have 1 month bad, 2 months bad, but you know what? It comes with the territory, you know what I mean? I try to stay consistent with being over 2% my ROI. Within 1-2% of my ROI, so and that's been kind of hard lately because it's been crazy with sports and college basketball, and it's been driving me insane. But I keep on chugging along, trying to get myself back to where I'm at. So yeah, that's what I'm all about, and I do. I get nervous, so don't worry about me. I'm a sports bettor, and I run my own business. And what I want to do is try to help people profit on sports and on betting on sports. And yeah, that's what my whole thing is, helping people sports. And listen, I don't even bet like high money line, which is like most of these people, the GOATs or whatever, and they be selling their picks for thousands of dollars. I'm not even like that. I find myself affordable. So it's hard to find people like that in the industry if they're not sold out by being paid by the books to do content and stuff like that. I refuse to do anything like that. So I don't like to play by people's books. I like to play by my own way. You know what I mean? I don't like to play with other. I don't like to have other people tell me what to do.
Well, you, I think you rock out.
I'm kind of in a bad thing right now with my picks and eggs. So now I'm getting all these messages like I belong in the kitchen. And I'm like, okay.
Well, you have to go in the kitchen. Well, Eagle Eye, you do appreciate you calling in and giving us your pick for the Bengals to win the Super Bowl by 4.5 points. Is that correct?
Yep. Get it at 4.5. I'll just tell people wait it out and see if it goes to 5, and if it's still lingering at 4.5, I'll buy the 5. I normally don't buy it, but keep it. I really like Joe Barrow to win it, but a lot of people keep saying the Rams defense is going to show the Bengals who they are. So, but we'll find out.
We'll find out. We will do. And where do we find you online one more time?
Again, go text. I can find you on Twitter at Betting in Heels and on Instagram at Betting in Heels 1.
Thank you
so much.
That's
like the high heels.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling and giving us your pick. And we'll talk to you probably next week, ma'am.
Yeah, definitely. I'll come and join. Thanks for inviting me in for like 15 minutes.
There you go. Happy having you. Okay, talk to you soon. And good luck tomorrow.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was Lady D from Betting the Heels with her pick for the Super Bowl. We have the Bengals plus 4. Well, 4.5. She thinks it's going to go to 5. Anyway, first of all, I need to horribly apologize to my guest, Luck. God, I mistyped his name and somehow came up with Puck. God, I feel horrible. But it always happens. And the first real show, so we did the test show a while ago, by the first real show, which this is my first real show, but I make a horrible mistake, and I had mine for this time. Usually my voice gets working or some type of a weird internet problem. This time it was bad typing that caused me to screw up someone's name. I'm horribly, horribly sorry. I apologize from the bottom of my heart to Luck. For the mispronunciation of his name, I just hope he doesn't blow up my car, because my wife drives it more than I do. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. We're going to cut the show a little bit short. I got things to do, places to go, and Luck had to go and do whatever, so we can't continue that conversation. He's a busy guy. I really appreciate him calling in and being my first real guest. Tomorrow we have the guy that runs just talking. You're talking. God, I can't even remember the name of the complete full name. We can I come calling in tomorrow, and we're talking about the adult entertainment industry, how it's changed over the last few years, probably the last 20 years. So you have to tune in tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central Time, and you can see it here. And I'll probably do a tweet, telling people that they can hear it live if they want to. But we don't take call-ins. Yeah, that made sense. You can't call in the show. We don't let us do that, only because a number of times in the past where I don't get a caller with a good question, interesting question, which is always a good thing, but usually some life better term drunk from our call-in calls in the show. I don't have time for that. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. I really, really appreciate it. And without that, you have a great day. Again, my apologies to Luck. And again, don't pull up my wife's car. Don't pull up my wife's car. Take me out if you have to. If you have to take me out, that's fine, I understand. But do not pull up my wife's car. Thanks for everybody calling in. Thanks for everybody for being the show. Thank you, Luck. Thank you, Lady D. Peace out. Have a great day. Bye.